to some reader questions. I've got one here from Patrick Gazinski.
So
he is basically saying, I noticed while reading the study hall and then rereading the issues, there seems to be a lot of hidden Easter eggs, secrets, story hints, or other things that relate to other parts of the story. I was wondering how much of this is Nick asking Joe to put it in, Joe putting it in himself, or the both of you deciding on doing it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about a little bit about this. If in terms of our amazing slew of celebrity guest cameos that we've had, especially over this arc, that's all Joe. You know, he has a lot of fun with that stuff and does a fantastic job of putting a little bit extra into the book. You know, it's nice for me too, because it's the one part of the book that I tend to not know about in advance. So, primarily those are Joe. Other things, I'll slip into the script. But they're not all that frequent, to be honest. And yeah, then other times you see things that I don't know that either one of us necessarily thought people would latch on to, and they do, which is awesome, because it really shows how much attention people are paying and how closely people are studying the book. And, you know, I've said on numerous occasions that is the big dream come true for me on this book. I don't know that I'll ever get another experience like this in writing, that, you know, the way that people pore over the pages, it's incredible. So, keep your eye out for that stuff. It's good stuff. If nothing else, you know, like, yeah, spotting some of our guest stars is worth it.
Our next question here is from Thomas Sanchez, who asks, are we going to see more about June's relationship, and thanks for bringing him out without making a huge scene about it before doing it?
Right, yeah, that is the key. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot. I mean, I really like the story of John and Guillaume, and I like the two of them together, and I like Guillaume as a character a lot. I really kind of fell in love with writing him straight away. So you're going to definitely see plenty more of him. I think one thing to keep in mind with their relationship, though, is even in issue 18, we set up that there are some very distinct differences of opinion that they have. And that they are coming at this from a different viewpoint. And it would be folly to just assume that the relationship exists to be nothing that isn't positive. You know, they are beyond all else, they are 16. And, you know, most of us didn't have the smoothest ride in terms of our love lives at 16. So, you know, if nothing else, there's that. But, you know, beyond that, I think that that's another one of those kind of traps that you can fall into, you know, of sort of worrying about how things are construed, you know, like that, you know, the trap that you don't want to fall into is saying, like, well, you know, because they're gay and, you know, because of that relationship, like, we have to make sure that relationship is a sort of positive, you know, is a sort of positive role model, which is something that you obviously wouldn't say if it were a heterosexual relationship. So I don't want to fall into that trap. So, you know, there are some things coming, you know, that will highlight their differences. But at the end of the day, like I said, I like the two characters together. I like Guillaume as a character, and we're certainly going to see a lot more of both them together and Guillaume himself as we progress.
The next question is also from Thomas. And I feel like this is the easiest answer, but I promised I would read every question I received. Are we going to see more of Jade?
You know, but these questions are awesome for me because, like, I really do like to know who people's, you know, favorites are. And, you know, look, there's no higher praise than, you know, people sort of identifying with the characters or becoming, like, hardcore fans of individual characters in an ensemble book like this. So you're going to see a lot more Jade. Lot more. She's one of my favorites, and I love writing her, and she's got a huge story in the book. So loads and loads more, I promise. You're gonna see some really cool stuff with her even in the fourth arc here.
Our next question comes from Timothy Connolly, who asks, is Pamela single?
See, that one's even better because I've always said that Pamela is my favorite. And if there's we talked a little bit about what frustrated me about this third arc, but nothing has frustrated me more than realizing that I don't have an easy way to yank Pamela back into the story, because I miss her and she hasn't gotten enough time. And sometimes I put off writing her because she's the hardest of the group to write. You know, I think that there's a lot about when you go back and look at your earlier issues, you know, you always see your improvement or what you like to think is your improvement as a writer. But I don't know that I set a very high bar for myself in that first issue with Pamela, and I like to make sure that the scenes with her count. She's got a cool one coming, but you know, more than one or two scenes with her in arc, and I'm probably overdoing it because she is a real challenge to nail the voice on. Just because, you know, she talks nonsense, you know, she's a nonsense speaker, and you know, that's very, very hard to write. So, but she's got some funny stuff coming, and then she's actually got a big story of her own coming someday. I don't know exactly when it fits in, but she's got some big moments down the road. So, being a fan of Pamela will pay off down the road.
This is a good segue for our next question, which switches us over to Twitter, where @Gabe JER asks, where was Pamela? And this I actually know because she's in the background of issue 15.
Yeah, she's managed to team up with the two biggest dudes on campus and is off on her Woodrun Merriness. Right now, and if you know, if the character holds, she's completely oblivious to everything except what the Academy is telling her to do. So she's amassing flags at a pretty massive rate. So yeah, she's got some fun stuff coming. And I am sorry that she has disappeared a bit. It's a huge cast. And I'm going to try to bring her back in as quickly as I naturally can without having her suddenly come around the corner. So, I do apologize. I miss her too.
So we've got a few questions here from @UpGuntha.
One of our biggest fans, one of our awesomest readers, and certainly one of our most observant, does a fantastic job, always has good questions.
We've got three questions from today.
Yep.
Number one is, will we find out what happened before Casey's parents died?
Yes. Yes, you will. You'll get a little more background there. There's an interesting question about that I haven't seen asked yet in any analysis to the book. Like there's something that really hasn't been asked that I thought would be asked more. It's definitely something that we're going to deal with. Casey's parents' death is obviously, I think it's become clear now after this third arc, like that is our Uncle Ben moment, you know, and it is our Crime Alley moment, but it's just sort of played out in a different way, because it's an ensemble cast, but B, because the rules of the game make it a little bit more malleable than it is in those stories, but that's still our biggest inciting incident, so it's something that we will continue to come back around on.
Our second question is, are the children's gifts passed on genetically?
Well, it's a good question. I would say read issue 20. It comes out. There'll be a little bit worth noting there.
And the last question is, why is death so important in Morning Glories? that's a thought question.
That's one of those ones where you just kind of throw everything, right? Like just so broad in the hopes of pulling down something useful. That's a tough one. But what I would say is that the scope of this story has been so ambitious from day one, and there's so much about sort of the course of history and about just sort of there's so much of sort of generational conflict and generational interconnectedness, and I think that these are big years for realizing all of that, because you're getting to be too old to be a child and recognizing what's in front of you. And so, you know, death is obviously a big part of that, and recognizing that that's going to happen to you someday too, and recognizing the cycles and everything is a big part of what their learning experience at the Academy is. So that's about as generous as I can be on that.
Our final question of the day is from Silent Phantom.
Who I have to say is a huge, huge Zoe fan. You know, I'm at a point where, you know, I know these names, you know, like, and he has been one of our biggest and nicest fans, and just a fantastic guy. And I would like to take this opportunity, before even knowing what the question is, to apologize, because he's a huge Zoe fan. And I, you know, it did actually, to be honest, it did give me pause, you know, in the sense that I knew that this character had some really devoted fans, and like I said, I'm always enormously flattered by that, and you don't like to lose that. I know he was very surprised and shocked, but also very kind about it, and I really do appreciate that.
So his question is, it feels like you've already answered it. What am I supposed to say to the guys who killed my wife? And does this make Casey the hottest chick at Morning Glory Academy now? Well, I think second one is no, because she's not there.
That's all a matter of personal preference. You know, they're all like daughters to me. So, I would say, you know, one thing that I would say is we're going to be seeing a lot of new faces in the fourth arc, as I think people could tell from that last page, from the name of the next arc. And very soon, we're going to have a nice surprise for everybody in terms of an upcoming cover. And, you know, we're going to be – the cast is going to get a little bigger. And that's terrifying for me, just because we already have one of the biggest casts in comics. And, you know, I just went and doubled down. But there are going to be some new faces that I'm very, very excited for people to read, some characters that I've already fallen in love with writing, and you know, who are just fitting right in. You know, your nerves in terms of both introducing new characters and in terms of continuing onward, you know, or that you kind of that it doesn't click the same way as maybe the earlier cast members do, and that hasn't been the case at all. It plays out slower, but I'm really excited about them, and you know, who knows, there might be somebody new in there for you, so we'll see.
Well, all right, that wraps it up after. What do we got? We got about 5 hours worth of discussion of Morning Glories in there for people. So
that is something, you know. I can never say thank you enough to you, Matt, like and to Crit, you know, and Multiversity. I mean, I can't begin to say how much fun it is for me to read Study Hall every time an issue comes out. It's a huge source of pride, I know, to everybody on the team that you know, that you guys put this much work into this and you know, devote your time to studying the book like this. Like I said, there's no greater honor as a writer than this. So I'm eternally grateful to you for taking your time out to do this.
Well, I always enjoy doing it. So,
So you know, I hope everybody out there takes a minute, you know, to like pause and comment and stuff, and just thank these guys for how hard they work on it. Because I'm constantly amazed and impressed by how much they put into it.
Well, all right. On that note, I guess that just about wraps us up until the end of the next arc and the end of the first season, which I'm sure will be a 10-hour discussion.
Yeah, it'll be around Christmas or something like that, I guess, or somewhere in the holidays. So,
well, yeah. Nick, thanks for taking the time out of your day to chat, and you know, we will see everybody again in a bit.